This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. Today, we're talking about sacred rest for you and your relationship with Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. She's an MD as well as an Enneagram 3. And Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith has really taken a vulnerable turn with us today to tell us about when she was moving so fast that she had hit burnout and was literally on the floor and needed to find her way out. If you are there, if you are stressed, if you are finding yourself on the floor in any metaphorical or real capacity today, this episode is for you. Congratulations on pressing play. We are going to help you. And you're going to hear her help me because we are sleuthing together some of my rest needs and hers on the show today too. So lots of fun and hopefully lots of practical take home for you as you can continue the conversation with your family, spouse. I know Melody noticed I needed more fun the week we recorded this. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Melody. Like that week I was not in my 7 and I needed it. So sometimes you can also kind of walk through the Enneagram numbers with it too. Like, which one am I not resting in? But I love her 7 paradigms here and they make a lot of sense. And I'm just geeked out that her patients have such a wonderful physician who cares so deeply as she reminds us that actually figuring out which form of rest you need is the most underused, safe, and chemical-free alternative for stress management. So grateful for her preventative work and also for you being here with us. I do want to remind you before she steps on with us that we're in the middle of our Sexual Instinct Igniting series on Wednesday. So make sure you tune into that on our regular Wednesday episodes as well as our deep dive episodes. And if you do want the deep dive episodes, you can go through Apple, but you can also know that our collective membership is open for one more day if you're listening live. So through April 2nd, Tuesday, we are open for you to join. So I would love to have you in the collective to just talk through and walk through. Some of them just watch on video from home. Others joined for the monthly meetings. But we have video every single month chat and you can get coaching. And we also have the 4 extra 30-minute podcasts every single month for you. So you get these extra bursts of actual coaching through the podcast and through our time together as a group. And I know I love it because that is a part that feeds my soul. So it's such a joy for me to be with everybody emotionally too. I get fed by that too. And then of course I love geeking out on helping others with their problem solving. So it is a win-win for all of us to have community and to be able to just be the ones that are like, you're not alone. I struggle with this too. And we're all doing this work together. So I love that. I also love giving the tips. I've been doing this for 20 years. So I do have a tip or two under my sleeve for you and love this with my clients as well. Anywho, we are on our way today with this episode. So check out her rest quiz in the show notes. Check out Dr. Sandra's book in the show notes, her beautiful website, as well as the collective. And it is all there waiting for you. Let's go ahead and talk with her now. Hi, Dr. Dalton Smith. It is such a joy to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we are so excited. I've been prepping my audience for this before you came on, and hopefully people are already getting their quizzing on with you, but everybody come back to us. She is here with us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm an internal medicine physician, was in clinical practice for about 20 years. I'm a mama of 2 boys. One's a sophomore in college, the other one's a senior in high school, married for 25 years almost. So, yeah, so enjoying life and learning new things along the way.
Oh my gosh, that's so wonderful to hear. And that's right where a lot of our audience is. I know I've been married for just over 20 years, have similar aged kids, and a lot of our audience members are also coming onto these years and wondering, how do you do it all? You're an Enneagram 3, am I right?
That's correct.
Oh, do you know your hubby's type?
I do not. I do not. I don't even think he's actually taken the assessment.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about how the two of you met.
We met, oddly enough, all those years ago online. It was right after internet and all those things started to become a thing. We lived in the same area but never knew each other. Met in back in those days, there were things called chat rooms. And
Yes.
so we were both in a chat room and chatting it up with other people and met that way. And then we met in person and it kind of went from there.
Oh my goodness, how interesting. This
Like
is like,
internet online dating before it was actually a thing.
yes, I remember AOL, and one of my best friends met a boyfriend in a chat room on AOL, and I remember being like cautious for her, like, be careful. And is that how you felt too?
Well, we took it off the chat room onto the regular phone back in those days. So the corded phones that were actually attached to a wall. So we took it back to that. And so we built the relationship offline on the telephone.
That's
And then,
cool.
yeah, met up at that point I think after
Oh,
we both felt like we knew each other pretty good. This is before the day's terms like catfishing
yeah.
was even a thing.
I think as a savvy type three, a lot of our audience members know that threes are very heart-oriented and able to read the emotions of others, even if we'll talk about perhaps times when threes are so busy they don't read their own heartstrings. But you're probably pretty darn good at picking up the vibe of other people. Is that right?
I am. I consider myself a HSP, and I tend to be very sensitive to emotions and people and their feelings, even sometimes before they're aware of their own feelings and emotions.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that about our heart types. Twos, threes, and fours are so good at that. And our thinking types, like myself, we rely on that because you make us feel so safe and at home. Now, tell us a little bit about just in your threeness, in your goal getting, in your internal medicine job, what made you see this need for rest? This is what everyone needs now. But as a three, I'm just so impressed that you saw that because a lot of threes, that's their blind spot.
Exactly. That was my blind spot. I burned out. I burned out about 5 years into clinical practice. It was right after my two sons were born. So I had two toddlers under the age of two and trying to work 60 hours a week and have a marriage that was healthy. And it was too much. And so I burned out. And I think just my personality type, my major's biochemistry, I'm really into the details and the specifics. When I burned out for myself, it wasn't a matter of, oh, I'm burned out, let me go find another job. It was like, I got to fix this thing and let me figure out the smallest increments of the details to be able to begin to fix this. And that's really where my journey began with the seven types of rest and learning about rest.
Oh my gosh, that's great. And maybe we can even talk about those because our audience is prepped, like I said, maybe even has done their quiz by now. But the truth is, maybe you can tell us why you noticed, even in your life or in the life of your patients, it wasn't just one part of rest. I loved hearing you talk about that in another podcast where you shared how it's like you had even tried to solve it with sleep and you realize sleep wasn't always just the answer. Is that right?
Yeah, I was convinced I was just sleep deprived. That's what the
Interesting.
literature at that time was promoting. We were hearing about sleep revolutions, and all of the conversation was based around sleep. And obviously, with a mom of toddlers, I wasn't getting a whole lot of sleep. So I thought that's probably the reason that I'm not feeling better. That's probably the reason I burned out, as well as needing to take vacations, which I wasn't doing. So that's where I began. I began with, I'm going to get this great sleep. I'm going to make sure I get to bed. As soon as the kids go down, I'm going to bed. I was getting 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours of sleep, and I'd still wake up exhausted. And then I was like, maybe it's the vacations. And then I carved out time to have these vacations, and I was still exhausted. And that's when it really started to dawn on me, there is something I'm missing here. There's something that is not lining up, and no one seems, and I'm a physician, so I could check all my labs. My thyroid was good. I wasn't diabetic. There was nothing physically wrong with me, but I knew I felt horrific. And so I started to look at what else can be tired.
Yeah.
I think I'm just physically tired.
Yeah.
And so I need sleep, but what else could be tired? And
Yeah.
so that's when I started to really kind of diagram my life. Like, where was I spending energy throughout the day? And it was really kind of organic. I would see patients, and at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, where did I spend energy? I talked to this person and I felt tired after talking to them. I dealt with this issue and that made me tired. And I had to do this for the kids and that made me tired. And so I started looking at kind of what were the different things in my day that was draining me and labeling them. Like, okay, well, what kind of energy did I use there? Oh, I think that might have been relationship energy, which at the time I now call it social energy, but I would just kind of, I was doodling basically relationship energy, emotional energy, mental energy. And I was just going through doodling these things down. And some of, and there were way more than seven when I first started because I didn't have terms for half the things I was just trying to think it through. But I started noticing a lot of overlap. And that's what narrowed it down to the seven types of rest.
Oh my goodness, how fascinating. So you just walked through your life instead of kind of trying to just first delineate what types of rest there are, you realize here's the kinds of tired there are.
Yeah. It's like, what type of exhaustion am I experiencing and or fatigue am I experiencing? And what type of energy did I use that got depleted? Because if I was tired, then I had to use energy in some way. And the logic that kind of evolved from that was, if I'm pouring energy out into these areas, what am I doing to pour energy back in? Now, that's the only way to feel revived, to feel restored, is to put back in the energy I poured out. And that's what led to some of the evaluation of what are the restorative practices. So you identify the types of rest. That's for anyone. Like, the quiz is basically step one. You're identifying what type of tired are you? And then really, that's just the beginning. That just gives you insight without the application. It's the next step that actually where we get the improvement.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Okay, awesome. Because we have our quizzings and now we're like, what's next? And I think we'll probably hit that at the end of the interview, but I wanted to first ask, what would you say you discovered? And some of this is going to be obviously in all of your resources that we can dig deep in, like we just said, but what's a cursory way we could just talk with our audience about some of these delineations?
Yeah, so I'll name the seven. They include
Okay.
physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, sensory, and creative. And so of each, there's specific ways of feeling tired that you may experience, or specific symptoms, so to speak, that you may experience within each. With physical, it includes the feeling body aches and pains, if you're having muscle soreness and tension, neck pain. All of those things kind of swelling, all of those things add to physical rest. Mental, you may feel confusion. You may feel scattered, as some people say, or foggy in your thinking processes. You may feel sometimes as if you can't turn your brain off. You're always processing information. Spiritual has to do with how you feel as far as purpose and your life having meaning and value. You may feel like you don't have those things or don't feel connected with humanity and with people in a way. Emotional deals with just that, your anxiety, depression, emotional related things. Social deals with our relationships and how they are pulling on us or giving back to us. Sensory deals with our sensory inputs, all the light, sound, smells, touches, all the different things that drain our energy, sometimes even without us knowing it, even subconsciously. And then creative rest deficits are looking at, are you someone who's solving problems? Are you having to think outside of the box, come up with new ways of doing things, be innovative? All of those are kind of creative energy draining activities. And if you're using energy in those ways, you can develop a creative rest deficit as well.
So when you did this delineation, which ones did you discover? It wasn't sleep. What would you say was one of the biggest pieces that you realized was missing?
Yeah, it was emotional rest, and that's one that's huge for most healthcare providers. I mean, physicians and nurses are have the highest suicide rates, some of the highest suicide rates out there, because of the emotional rest deficits that they experience. And a big part of that was the professional emotional labor that's involved, and that's involved in a lot of different professions and in a lot of people's lives. It basically boils down to the emotional weight that you carry when you don't have the liberty or the freedom to express your emotions. So let's say someone in customer service is dealing with a bunch of really mean people all day long. They still have to keep a smile on their face. They still have to deliver quality customer service. But inside, they're taking in all of that ridicule, all of that harassment, all whatever it is they're having to put up with those customers. And from a healthcare standpoint, it was, I worked in the ER and the ICU in some places that were, well, you see a lot of things that you don't necessarily want to see. And so in those moments, I'm an empath. So it's very easy for me to be moved when I see something. And so if I'm in a normal setting and I see something that makes me sad, I may cry. You'd never see me cry in the hospital. It's just not going to happen. Professionally, I know that doesn't benefit my team or the nurse or the nursing staff or my patient. So I keep it all together. However, I'm still processing. I still need to process those emotions. Otherwise, that professional emotional labor of carrying that and not being having the freedom to release it begins to weigh on you.
And when you discovered that, were you able to notice that making some tweaks in the way you carried yourself at work and finding some healthy emotional release was the answer?
Absolutely. For myself, it was really identifying that that was the fatigue that was not getting an area of reprieve. It was not getting restored. I feared going home and sharing with my husband because I didn't want to emotionally to trauma dump on him, and I had to learn the difference between emotional rest and trauma dumping. Emotional, for example, trauma dumping with me coming home and giving him all the gore of the surgery or the incident or the accident, and bringing him into the picture of what happened in the hospital. Emotional rest is me telling him how it made me feel. It's way more vulnerable. It's when I'm able to say to my husband, they brought that child in and I knew there was nothing I could do. I felt completely powerless. I felt useless in that moment. All I could do was hold that mama's hand and just let her know we're doing the best we can do. And literally, there was nothing we could do. Being able to say that authentically and release it and not just hold on to it and feel all of that with and the pressure of all of that, really, without a place to release it, that's what really gets us mentally wound up in a bad way.
Oh my gosh. And I can only imagine as a heart type too, like you said, what an empath, being in that heart emotional space first, as so good at reading others. And then, like you said, in life you could deal with that, but then coming back to home, you're like, okay, this was professional work. How much can I share? How much should I share? Because then I'm trauma dumping. We deal with that in our home as well. And that's not surprising then that I also scored high on emotional. That was my highest area for when I took your rest quiz. And I'm not a heart type, first of all. So there's not even a sense of me needing to do that, which I do need to do, but I don't have that. And then my husband's a PA. So he's busy constantly having the same thing. He was just telling our family last night at dinner, I saved somebody from having a stroke. And we said to him, do you, my kid said, do you have this way of dealing with people that when they have high blood pressure that you maybe tell them more gently? And he's like, I always try to use my best words, but you have to give them the information no matter how they react. You can't cookie cut, code it. You have to be real with it because it's emergent information, as you know. So I would assume he and many other, like you said, helpers, pastors listening, people who are in the front lines of giving care, struggle with this. And you just really blessed me by sharing that, I can still share as long as I don't trauma dump, because my fear is, of course, doing that. So I just avoid it and I do the emotional bypass. So that's really cool that you just shared that with all of us here. Thank you.
Yeah, I find it's one that a lot of us deal with. Even if someone's, for example, with COVID, a lot of parents did this. Everything's great, everything's fine, and nobody had a job. They didn't want the kids to worry. They didn't want them to be, fearful of losing their home or whatever. So they carried the emotional labor of that situation. And if they didn't have anyone else they felt like they could talk to, if it's a single parent dealing with this, then they ended up oftentimes with an emotional rest deficit in those moments.
Oh, fascinating. And I was thinking, I heard some attachment studies about this yesterday, and I can't remember exactly the result. I almost like missed it, but even when we're pretending, as you're saying, to have it all together, like everything's all good, classic type seven statement. Often I feel like the people around us, especially if their heart types, probably can read it if it's not okay, right?
Oh, absolutely. I had a conversation with a friend the other day, and we were talking about how healthy our relationships and marriages were. And, I was being very real and honest with her. And I told her, I
Where's
think on
the
a scale of
compromise?
1 to 10, this is what mine is. And she goes, oh, mine's an 8. And I, the second, the way she even said it, I was like, no, it was probably 4 based on what you just said. And so the more we started diving into it, the more she was like, maybe I'm not at 8. And I'm like, no, hon, you're not at 8. So, and you can do an 8, but you're not an 8 right now, not with all the things that are pressing on you.
Yes. And so it's just like being authentic and truthful to ourselves, which obviously culture's been talking a lot about this lately. Your quiz really helps us to see what are our deficits. And this is so helpful. And now I'm like, I want to jump to that question about like, how can we get deeper? But I think that we need to stay here with when we start to shift, when we start to put some of the things like you just said into practice, sometimes it will be received well. Other times, of course, our people can't meet us there. Our spouses say, what are you doing? I know that happened to Wes and I. You were running at this pace. He's a medical provider. Why can't you keep running at this pace, Krista? And we worked it out. That's part of my book and story. But there are other people listening who are also wondering, if I start to incorporate rest, what will my kids say? What will my church say? What will my family say? What do you try to say to those people?
Well, I think a big part of it is setting some healthy boundaries. I think too often we focus more on what other people think. What do you feel? I think that has to be kind of more of a forefront. What are you feeling? Do you feel energized? Do you feel excited about your day? Do you feel welcomed into your day, or do you feel pressed into your day? Because if you are living a life where you're constantly feeling kind of oppressed, that's not healthy for anyone in your circle or your environment, because you're not going to show up as the best version of yourself. You're going to show up as an oppressed person who has a life that is kind of they're having to fit in rather than a life that they want to engage with. And so with parents, I'm always challenging them. Do you want your kids to burn out? Do you want them not to have any role models showing them how to actually live a life that has rest as important as work? I'm not saying don't work. Most of us have a fantastic work ethic, especially certain Enneagram types have a great work ethic, but a lot of us have no rest ethic. We treat it as if it's this side thing we can do when we have time, and there's never time. You create opportunities for restorative practices. To me, that's what rest is. It's not a vacation. It's not a long sabbatical. You can have restorative practices integrated within the middle of any busy life. And it's a practice that we need to begin teaching our children and helping other people learn so that those we love don't burn out.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. And you're really helping us. The very obstacles, the people who are in your way here and don't see the need for it, they need it most.
Oftentimes, yes. Usually, those same people are the same ones who, for them, rest either means they're giving something up. So they view rest as negative. Like, if I rest, I lose something. And they're not actually seeing rest as restorative, that it actually prepares you and builds you up for greater, that it actually gives you the capacity to do more by having moments where you fill back up. Or they have kind of gotten into a situation where their work and their worth have been tied up together. So if they're not working, they're not worthy. In other words, I'm not worthy of time off. I'm not worthy of a good life. I'm not worthy of a happy family unless I'm putting the work in all the time to build or create that. And they never feel like they're worthy of something independent of their doing.
Oh, that's a really good obstacle that you named, that sometimes it's not another person, it's their own sense of worth being tied in with the achievement. And I think a lot of threes, but I also think we're in an overlay of an American culture, those listeners here with us here, that also has this tendency, and there's a lot of these cultures across the world that have that. So it's a good reminder for us to see it may not be your spouse, it may not even be your kids, it may be you, it may be your culture, it may be your boss. And when those voices tell us, internal voices, do not rest, do not give up, just do it, what can we say back to those scripts?
Yeah, I can really relate to that because that was my battle. I thought rest was for losers. I
Yeah.
was not happy that this was the
Yeah.
topic that it ended up being that that really,
It's
honestly, my
true.
entire life now is focused around
Yeah.
it. The work that I do within my company, the
Yeah.
book that I wrote, Sacred Rest,
Yeah.
so much of my energy is
Yeah.
spent around rest at this point. But when I started this journey, rest was not something that I had any respect or hold
Yeah.
any kind of high regard for. So
Yeah.
when I hear someone who say that, I totally get it. I grew up the very same mindset. But what I had to learn was that I went all the way to burnout to learn this lesson. And so my prayer is that most people don't have to go all the way there to learn it. But honestly, what I'm finding is a lot of people do. A lot of people, there is no telling them they have to experience it. And when they start realizing that, and for myself, one of the things that the way I started my book, Sacred Rest, was like, I'm in the house of my dreams with the man of my dreams, with the kids I've been praying for, money, status, all of the
Everything you
stuff.
want.
And I'm looking around thinking, I don't even have the energy to enjoy any of this. What kind of success is that? And I think that's where a lot of people have find themselves right before they start realizing, you know what? Maybe I should listen to this rest stuff. Maybe I should start thinking about it. And so what I'm learning is more and more people are beginning to get open to the ideas, especially once they start realizing that I'm not telling them to quit their job. I'm not telling them to carve out 3 hours every week for self-care. I'm basically saying evaluate where the deficits are. You likely already have some of these seven areas that you are excelling in because you've had to learn some coping mechanisms. Typically, many of us will have one or two blind spots where we either didn't know that that was an area we could be fatigued in, or we haven't come up with restorative practices where we can begin to pour back into that particular bucket. And so narrowing it down to those one or two areas that are of highest deficit, and then looking at simple ways to begin to integrate restorative practices in your life.
That's a great way to start so that we're not overwhelmed, like, okay, got my quiz results back, have all these high deficits. You're like, take it slow. You don't have to quit your job, but really look around. Are you really getting what you need to really thrive even in your family? Or, don't lie to yourself. In other words, that achievement is everything, or that name or that check mark. You're like, it's so much more about whether you're settled in your spirit, at peace with God, with your family, with yourself. And even I'm hearing joy didn't have space to emerge in your life because you were too tired for that. So this is a great cue for people to see if they're really not having the joy or the rest. Maybe it's this exhaustion. Very likely.
Yeah, very much so. And it's really I love when I get the emails or the stories that people write because sometimes it's just amazing to see how rest changes so many other areas of your life. Like for example, I have people who do the 30-day Sacred Rest Challenge, and one of my favorite emails was a gentleman who was like, "I haven't slept throughout the night in over 20 years." He goes, "I'm on day 15 of the challenge." He goes, "And I just woke up 8 hours later." And I thought to myself, how beautiful is that? I mean, how is his life going to change just simply? I mean, the fact that he wrote me an email, basically a complete stranger to him, to share something of that nature. I have people who sometimes will write within the challenge because one of the prompts for the 30 days is if you don't have a place to release your deepest, darkest, whatever, that particular challenge, all of the replies come literally directly to my personal email. I set it up that way so that it comes directly to me because I'm like, everybody has to have a place to release that. And so just being able to say it to somebody is a release in itself. And I think, one of the first things that we started doing was working with couples related to this, specifically as it relates to social rest, because so many people say, I don't have people in my life that are positively pouring back into me. Like everybody's taking my spouse, my kids, everybody needs things from me. And it's just really for couples to spend 5 minutes a day just where they are looking into each other's eyes and asking the question, how was your day? Giving an opportunity to have emotional and social rest at the same time. I can emotionally tell you what my feelings and experiences were in that day. I don't expect you to fix it. I don't even expect you to reply to it. But if after I finish that and I just need to lay on your chest, can I just do that? Or I just need to stare in your eyes and know that somebody sees me, like really sees me, not just sees the image of me, but sees me, all of me, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, that's good.
Found that so many couples who did that started writing us back, and they're like, one couple specifically made this statement. His comment was, I felt like that if our marriage lasted till the kids got out of high school, we'd be doing good. He's like, I didn't really even know her anymore. He's like, but 5 minutes of looking at each other has turned into better sex, better conversation, and a marriage I want to be in. I'm thinking, if my book, Sacred Rest, and the work that I've done that accomplishes nothing else, just being able to have family stay together, that's good enough for me.
Yes, with love, not with this feeling of have to, stuck with, but get to, oh my gosh, this person, even though we're so busy still, we have kids at these ages still, they love me and they see me, as you said. And I think many listeners also, any threes, sometimes our threes can get emotional listening to the episodes because people don't always see that soft undercurrent of threes. And I think many of my threes do not sleep well first, just like you said, that's the first thing, but they never get to this deeper work because that's just there. But then two, if they do, it's usually they go into that nine space of just total rest. Like you said, okay, it's 8, 9, 10 hours. So vegging completely, and just, you're offering a lot of color to life. You're saying you don't have to settle for that. And I would imagine it's also very healthy physically as we end. I have a million more questions, but I just want to end on just a couple. Is, as a physician, do you feel like that really helps us in that way as well when we do see our bodies settle?
Oh, absolutely. You know, cortisol levels, our stress response, all of those are attached to lack of rest and the rest deficits that we experience. And so as you become more well-rested, you start noticing that you actually feel better because your cortisol levels aren't staying up, your inflammation levels stay down, blood pressures improve. All of those things are important for cardiovascular health. And so, and cardiovascular health is where you mentioned strokes, heart attacks, all the things, you know, come from. So it's kidney failure, all of it really stems from cardiovascular disease. So it's one of those things where I think it's so important to realize that there are so many chronic stress-related disorders out there. And the more we can understand how to improve our body's stress response, and really the only way to do that is with rest. You know, stress and stress is just change and challenges. Those are, you can't control. That's why I hate the term stress management. You can't really manage stress because you can't choose it. It chooses you most of the time. You don't know when stress is coming your way. But you can choose how you manage, how you address the stress, I should say. You can choose how you recover from it. And that's really what rest is. It's the recovery from the stress. So that you build greater resilience, you build greater inner strength. And that's what all of us.
Wow. I love hearing that. And I feel like it's perfect timing for even myself and just getting to see that result. Also, I got to see that I was high on the sensory, which I wouldn't have guessed because I'm not super visual type, but everybody needs to figure out which one they're high on. Cause then it made me look and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going through this little circuit where I'm checking Facebook, Instagram, sometimes Bible app if I'm having a good moment. Oh, I loved your Sacred Rest Bible app too, by the way. I'm so glad I just thought of that. That was a beautiful Bible study. You can see how my mind goes round and round. And so thank you for also showing us that this was now an area that I was just starting to look at because of your beautiful test.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. So tell everybody where we can find you after we take the quiz. What's my next step? What's our next step as a community?
Well, after you take the quiz, I always recommend reading the book because, as I mentioned, the quiz for the most part is just the beginning. So the quiz is at restquiz.com. The book is called Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. It's written in really small chapters divided so that busy people can actually get through it. And I recommend it because it actually goes to the next step. It helps you identify what some of the symptoms are. It talks about three different ways you can begin to restore in each of the seven types of rest areas. I also have a podcast, and that's all the information from my webs can be found on my website at ichoosemybestlife.com.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. One of my top favorite episodes of the year, obviously. You are a gift, and we will be finding you, and it's all in the show notes. So thank you so much, Dr. Dalton Smith.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for joining me. I look so forward to hearing which types of rest you're finding that you need to work on. You heard me with emotional and sensory and a few others too that were a little bit high. So now I have a roadmap and I am so excited to talk with you about this. If you want to join our collective, make sure you grab that. Make sure you grab everything in the show notes from Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith as well. And I hope you had a good Easter. I hope you look forward to Wednesday's episode. I know we surely need this time discussing the sexual instinct as well. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.